Well, today we continue with our study in the what we're calling the Back to Basics study. We talked the first week about how to identify the New Testament church. And then we talked about the Lord's Supper and what that means to us. Last week we talked about the music question and what God authorizes for the kind of music that He desires in our worship. And today we're talking about prayer. What an awesome God we have. Loves us so very much and we receive so many of His blessings. Blessings that He has reserved for His children and no one else in the world. I know that good things happen to sinners and bad things happen to Christians, but one thing that we can know is that we always, as God's children, have a Father that cares about us and are there for us when we need Him. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, there Paul writes and says that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. What a gracious and kind and caring God we do have. So many, many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Things like redemption. We find in Romans 3 and verse 24, God, through His Son, bought us back, paid our debt, a debt we could not pay, a debt He did not owe. Freedom from condemnation, Romans 8 and verse 1. To know that we have a God that will forgive our sins and not lay it to our charge. The love of God, Romans 8 and verse 39. Newness of life, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Liberty. The Lord has given us liberty, the blessings of liberty. Galatians 2 and verse 4. Wholeness. He has made us whole again. Colossians 2 and verse 10. Oh, what wonderful blessing of grace our God has given us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. And salvation. Salvation through Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Because we are His children, He will bless us, does bless us. Just as we as earthly fathers know how to give good things to our children, Jesus said, how much more will God, who is your spiritual Father, give to you? And one of these great blessings, one of the great blessings that God has given us, is the right to talk to Him in prayer. In Luke 11, verses 9 through 10, prayer is one of the strongest, most powerful resources that we as human beings have, and that is to talk to the Almighty God. And it may be one of the least utilized powers that God has given us. Sometimes we simply wait until the bad things in life come and we want God's help or we want something is whenever we go to Him in prayer. Kind of like the spare tire of Christianity. Spare tire prayer. How many times have you checked your spare tire? Now I do actually check my spare tire some on my horse trailer, but I have never checked my spare tire on any one of my vehicles. Sometimes we use God like a spare tire. When our life goes flat, then we go to Him in prayer. People, prayer is not just a spare tire. Prayer should be an everyday part of our life because it is one of the great powers that we possess. Every book in the Bible, somewhere in that book, has something about prayer. Now, if that is that important, that it would be mentioned in every book of the Bible, then it must be important for us as we live in this world today. And there is a lot of information about prayer in the Bible. And I want us to look at some of those things today. What I have done, instead of like motivating us in prayer, because really, we really ought to know that. We ought to be motivated to pray, but we need to know some particulars about prayer. So what I've done in our lesson today is go back and think about some of the questions through the years that have been asked of me about prayer, and have tried to give some scriptures for that. Now, All of our PowerPoint people are out of town today. Boy, I tell you what, when the guys that do such an awesome job, Mark Wolf and Andrea Goodpasture and David Cherry, those are the people that do our PowerPoint, and they do a wonderful job on our PowerPoint. But when all of them leave town, It sure does make you realize how much you appreciate them. And I need to tell them thank you more than I do, and perhaps you would like to do the same. But David, before he left town, he did put our songs up on the PowerPoint. He did put a skeleton outline up there. In your bulletin, you have a complete outline of today's lesson. So If you want a little more, then you might look at your bulletin. But one of the questions I've been asked through the years is, how are we to pray? Well, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it tells us that we are to pray believing. We have to have faith in our prayer. Prayer is not just throwing up a wish in the wind. If we truly believe that God is our Father, if we truly believe that Jesus is our Savior and Mediator, and that the Holy Spirit does help us in our prayer, we can have faith that when we pray, that God will hear our prayers and that He will answer them. Now, does that mean that God will always answer every prayer? Yes. The answer to that is no. No, He will not answer every prayer, yes. Sometimes because we really don't know what to pray for, and we really don't know what we're asking. And sometimes we can be very, very thankful later in our lives, as we look back, that God didn't answer our prayers. Every prayer, yes. And give us everything that we asked for. Do you, as a father, as a mother and a parent, do you give your children everything that they ask for? I'm not talking to your grandparents. I said parents. Yes, grandparents, we are inclined sometimes to go a little overboard, I guess you would say, when it comes to our grandchildren. No, we don't as parents give our children everything, and even we as grandparents, as generous as we seem to be sometimes, do not give them everything that they ask for. And so, no, God won't answer every prayer that we pray to him yes. Sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes he'll say, wait a while. Sometimes he'll say, I'm going to give you something better. Sometimes he says, I'm going to give you something different. We can see an example of all of that as we go through the book. But one of the things we must do is we must pray to God, believing that he will answer our prayer. James also points this out to us in James chapter 1 and verse 6, that if we pray doubting, we don't think that man ought to receive anything. And then Hebrews 4 and verse 16 tells us that we need to pray boldly, and that when we do pray believing, we can go before the throne of God boldly with our petitions. Not only just because we are powerful in our prayer, but because we have a Savior through whom we pray, and the Holy Spirit who interprets our prayers and the language that we can't speak. So we've got so much going for us when we pray. In Luke 9, verses 18, Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, Christ gives an example of being alone sometimes when we pray. So there's we can pray being alone. We can pray in an assembly. There's just not any time, really, that is not appropriate to prayer. But another thing that we need to keep in mind is we need to pray earnestly. We need to pray submissively. We need to pray humbly. Now here's one. We need to pray patiently. God's time is not always our time. Peter talks about a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. The Lord's just not on our timetable. Now, we try to put him there sometime, but he's not. Another thing that we ask is, or I have been asked before, let's see, here we go, is how not to pray? Well, it's hard to pray wrong if you pray from the heart. You just can't hardly pray wrong if it's from the heart. But, yes, if you pray like the Pharisee in Luke 18, verses 9 through 13, whose prayer was, look at me. I'm so glad that I am this and this and this and this, and I'm not this and this and this and this. His prayer was not to God. His prayer was to show others who he was and what he was. The reason why his prayer was not accepted was not because he prayed, but because he prayed. Says he prayed within himself. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, again, the Lord talks about those, the Pharisees, who pray to be seen and heard of men. We should never pray to be noticed. Our prayers should never be to show people how much we know or how well we can pray. And our prayers are not the announcements. Dear Lord, bless Jim, who is in room 2406 in Northwest Hospital. God knows where Jim is. So our prayers are not the announcements. But it doesn't hurt, and certainly is very acceptable to mention the names of those that are sick in our prayers. We may not be able to mention them all because of our minds don't always comprehend all of those that are sick. But there are some that may perhaps have asked you or the congregation for specific prayers. It's fine to do that. Again, if you're praying from the heart, it's just hard. I just don't know if you can pray wrong. So, another question is, whose name should we pray in? Well, that's very easy to answer. We pray to God the Father through Jesus the Son. And Jesus in John 16, verses 23 and 24, says, in my name, whatever you ask in my name. Again, John 14, verses 13 and 14, my name. That's because Jesus is our mediator. Now, what does the mediator mean? A mediator is a go-between. We pray to God in Jesus' name, through Jesus, because He is our mediator. He's the one that takes our petitions to the Father. And we also know that we have the Spirit who is able to translate for us, to speak God language. We don't speak God language. We speak human language. And sometimes the way we ask things, the Spirit takes then and changes that into the language of God. So we got so much going for us. I've already said that when we pray. So how often should we pray? What is the frequency of our prayers? Well, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says that Peter and John had a certain time set aside at the temple. And that is true. At 9, 12, and 3 were the hours appointed for prayer. And often the Jews would go at those specific hours to pray. It wouldn't hurt for us to have some hours set aside for prayer. In Romans 12 and verse 12, it tells us to pray steadfastly or constant. That doesn't mean that I've got to be walking around all the time talking in a prayer and saying a prayer at every place I go, where I go. It means to be in a prayerful mood, a prayerful attitude, constantly. And then it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, day and night, constantly. There's not a wrong time to pray. Just because it's not 9, 12, or 3, as the Jews had those times specifically set aside, it's not 12 yet, or it's not 3 yet. I can't pray. You pray anytime, constantly, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. In Mark 1 and verse 35, we see where Jesus went early in the morning. He got up before the apostles and everyone else, and he went out early in the morning to be by himself to pray. So really the answer to that question is how often should we pray? Anytime, all the time, every chance we get. What do I pray for? Some people have asked before. Well, in James 5 and verse 16, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot of things. I've simply made a list, just go through here. But there, you could add to this list many other things. I said, let's pray for our daily bread in Luke 11, verses 1 through 3. Give us our daily bread. Thanking God for all the blessings that He's given us. In Luke 11 and 4 and Mark 11, 25, 1 John 1 and 9, ask for the forgiveness of our sins and the forgiveness of others. In Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, to have faith in Christ, Paul said, for this reason I'm praying for you, that you have faith, that your faith remains strong. We're in a world where our faith is under constant bombardment by the world. We need to pray for faith. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 15, pray for strength, not to be tossed to and fro, it says. To be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Colossians 1, verse 3 through 5, hope of heaven. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, for the church, for the gospel. Acts 8, verses 22 and 24, through 24, for ourselves. We need to pray for ourselves. Jesus told Peter, pray for yourself. Luke 6 and verse 28, tough one for me. Maybe for us all, because I don't hear it very much. We need to pray for our enemies. Matthew 26, verse 41, lead us not into temptation. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, for those people that we love. James 1 and 5, to give us wisdom. Philippians 4 and 6, to be thankful to God. Those are just some things that we could pray for, should pray for. The Bible teaches us to pray for. So, why do we even need to pray? Because God knows what we need before we ever ask Him. That's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. If God knows what I need, why do I need to pray? Why pray if God already knows? Because He wants us to ask Him. God wants us as a father for us to come and talk to Him. Prayer indeed is a powerful thing. Jacob Kreith lived during the time of the Civil War. He was a southerner in a small town, and the Union army was pressing down. They had been raiding the towns nearby and burning and destroying them. In fact, there was a Union army camped just outside of his town with the intention of raiding that town the next day. During the night, Mr. Kreith couldn't sleep. So he got up and was walking and walked out into the woods. And there he knelt down to pray. Also, who couldn't sleep that night was a Union officer in command of the troops that were going to attack the town the next day. He too was walking in the woods, and he heard something and stopped and listened. He listened to Jacob Kreith as he prayed. The Union officer went back, and the next morning he told his troops, I cannot attack the town of a man who prays like that. And so it literally, prayer literally saved his town from attack. Pat's dad lived with us a couple of years before his death. I've never in my life heard a man who could pray like him. Now, he did it sometimes at 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'd have to think to myself, man, I wish he'd pray a little quieter. But he was a praying man. And his prayer would go on for an hour or more. Prayer is a powerful thing. Parents, grandparents, let your kids see you pray. Because prayer does make a difference. In fact, in James 4, verse 2, there's where James writes and says, you have not because you ask not. I want to close this morning by reminding you of a prayer poem that I wrote. I actually wrote it for Mike. This, Mike, I wrote after one of your classes on Wednesday night. And you just happened to mention about prayer. You said that God has time to listen. What a busy world we live in. We rush and rush each day. We live our life in such a hurry that we don't take time to pray. Then some burden comes along and there's trouble everywhere. We think, oh God, where are you? This is more than I can bear. God has not gone away, my friend. He still cares and loves you too. The question is not where is God. The problem is where were you? So how long has it been since you talked to God or knelt by your bed to pray? How long since you said thank you, Father, as you hurried through your day? Prayer is still a powerful thing, and it helps when you're burdened so. It's a strength in your time of need, a peace that the world doesn't know. So as you journey along life's road, stop along the way. And know that God has time to listen if you take time to pray. Can we help you in any way with your relationship with God? Can we help you to obey Him and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Can we go with you in prayer and talk to the Father for you? Whatever your need may be, will you come while together we stand and sing?